All right, we're starting. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the fourth annual Movie Blog Podcast, the Oscars. I am joined this year by a distinguished panel roundtablists here. I'm just going to go around the circle here. I'll start to my right. From thinkhero.com, I'm joined by Dennis.
Hello, everyone.
Very efficient.
To his right is Chuck.
I take offense to the round table because some of us are distinctly more round than others.
And the fact that this is a square coffee table footstool that we got going on.
Dude, that was my introduction. You're talking over it.
What did you expect, Chuck?
Sitting to,
it's only a matter of
to
time.
Chuck's right is Soul Video.
Hello, welcome.
And to his right is from incontention.com, Chris Tapley.
Hello.
Nobody cares.
So we're going to, this is our little pre-show here for you, those of you guys who are listening to this. I got a few things I want to talk about. Before we get to the nominees, a couple of the issues that I want everybody's opinions on. A few weeks ago, Chris and I were talking about this year's Oscars, and they just, a little bit more than a few weeks ago, they had just announced that Hugh Jackman was going to host. And I want your guys' impressions about how you think Jackman will do. But here's the thing that came up for Chris and I. We said, you know, this might be the most, it could be the most fanboy-friendly Oscars in a long time. Because not only do you have Wolverine hosting the Oscars right before Wolverine comes out, but you've got The Dark Knight, which I believe nine nominations.
Eight.
There's eight nominations at the Oscars this year. So do you think this year might be a little more friendly to fans? Do you think fanboys will be more inclined this year to tune into the Oscars and like that? Just Chuck, let's start with you.
Well, I definitely think that that Hugh Jackman is a risky proposition for hosting. I mean, I would think that you would want to go for the established host, right? Someone who's actually hosted something before. But yes,
he has done the Tony Awards a couple of times.
I had no idea of that.
Yeah,
I'm not an avid Tony Awards watcher, but you know.
Get out of here.
Champion loves the theater.
So that said, then it's a great choice. And yes, I'm sure that fanboys are, you know, getting the chubs out as we speak, waiting for this to start.
The what?
The chubs. The boner. They're getting erect.
Interesting.
Tapley, your thought.
I'm probably not getting the chubs out. But I definitely think it was...
Talk louder.
I definitely think it was... a good move to have Hugh Jackman host because it's obviously fresh to begin with. But yeah, it plays into all of that, the sexiest man alive thing, just the populist nature of it all.
Yeah, you know, that goes too.
And also, I think, but then you have to wonder how many are just gonna boycott watching the Oscars and being pissed that The Dark Knight wasn't nominated.
Oh, we'll get to that.
People hated the Oscars before all of this. So.
We'll get to that. Sol, Dennis, you got any thoughts
Hugh
on
Hugh Jackman? More like huge jackass. Am I right, guys? I mean, the people want comedy at the Oscars. I don't care how bad... I think Jon Stewart did reasonably well. I don't know how well he was received, but I think that, you know what I mean? I like the idea of a comedian or somebody, like, doing the monologue. Chris Rock did it once, right?
Yes.
Oh, that was a car wreck.
That was a little rough, but I like the idea of sort of a monologue that really sort of... roasts Hollywood like to their face, like right in, it's a big circle jerk to begin with, so that if you can get in some punches before you start rewarding everybody, I think that's pretty cool. So I was a little disappointed that it's going to be, you know, some guy playing it straight, probably with a few jokes here and there, but I could be surprised.
I mean, I read somewhere, I'm not totally sure, but I thought that he had some sort of comedic background before.
He's done some theater or something, but he's not going to be out there cracking jokes.
Okay, well, let's jump
I'm sure
this.
For Dennis, it's just all downhill since Ellen, right? Yeah. That was the pinnacle for Dennis.
Yes. Yes.
All right, well, since we're on the thing about fanboys' attraction to this year's Oscars, let's talk about this. The fact of the matter is, you have a Geek World film that's got eight nominations, which is huge. But, of course, The Dark Knight was not nominated for Best Picture. Personally, it didn't deserve to be nominated. I've got The Dark Knight at number eight of my 10 best films of the year. So I loved it. I think it's an overrated film. I don't think it deserved to be nominated. If I was in the Academy and was given a vote, I would not have given it a nomination, me personally. I don't think anybody around this table thinks The Reader deserved to be nominated.
Hell no.
But putting The Reader aside, putting aside what films were on the list instead of The Dark Knight. Let's talk about the fact that The Dark Knight, do you think it really turned... Do you think anybody is not going to watch the Oscars this year because The Dark Knight didn't get nominated for Best Picture?
Yes.
You do, really? You don't think those same people aren't going to tune in to
I
see...
I think there are crazy people out there.
Well, that's true, but you think even those crazy people aren't going to tune in to see Heath Ledger get his Oscar or all the other awards it's nominated for?
Sure, but like I said, I think there's crazy people out there. Yeah. I think there are people that... And it's kind of fucked up to put it into such a... so fine a point on it or whatever, but... It's kind of, it's interesting to note that a lot of these fans could have cared less about the Oscars before.
Right.
And it's not going to be that hard to just fall back on that tendency when, you know, the nominations announcement has become the peak of the award season, not really the Oscars anymore.
Itself more the announcement.
So it becomes easier to not watch, I think. So yeah, I think there's people out there that won't watch.
Campia has his own sort of controversy surrounding how what's nominated or not, because a lot of times he's slanted towards Pixar, because I think that they pay him silently on the side. But that's beside the point. So I know for a fact that he was campaigning on the movie blog that WALL-E should have been nominated for Best Picture.
I mean, hey, the number one critically rated film of the year? Heaven forbid it should be nominated for Best Picture.
But yes. I think that
and
falls
number two shouldn't.
But I think
heaven forbid.
No, wait a second. I don't discredit that.
I have two contradictory quick points here. One, I don't think the Academy obviously nominates, you know, they have their idea of what qualifies as a best picture, and it's certainly not a superhero movie, and it's certainly not an animated movie.
But they have nominated an animated film before.
Right, but how long ago was that?
That was Beauty and the Beast. A long time ago.
Yeah, 1939.
Yeah, exactly. It was black and white.
I think it was.
One of them was dressed up as a Nazi. But I just have a thing. Like, one of the big problems I've had with the Oscars is the fact that when a movie comes out, it's, like, made to be nominated for an Oscar. You know, in that type of movie where everybody is so pretentious about it, that it seemed like The Reader or even Revolutionary Road or that, even though, you know... It's the idea that you can see these people when they were making the movie being like, oh, fucking, we're shooting an Oscar-nominated
movie. Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, I lose a little respect for that. So, I don't know.
Just as an aside, Rotten Tomatoes, for the critic rate, The Reader is the lowest critically rated film of all the ones nominated, 68%.
Yeah. It's nominated. That's worse than Chocolat.
And it's nominated. By
the way, are we going to get around to slamming The Reader at any point?
By the way, the movie blog's good friend, Jen Yamato, mm-hmm. is actually at the Oscars in the press room right now, and I messaged her before we came here requesting that she wear the Big Tomato costume.
You saw her in that?
I don't know if she's going to be able to, but anyway, there's a shout-out.
Let's get on to a couple other quick issues here that both Tapley and I have talked about before. One we just talked about. They're making many changes to the Oscar show this year. One of the changes is the category for best song. In years past, they've had a full musical performance of each song nominated for best song, which I thought has been a ridiculous waste of time. Personally, I know many people enjoy it. This year, they're doing a little bit different, where each song is, what, 30 seconds or 60 seconds of the song? Is that what
they're
doing?
Medley. It's a mashup. Essentially.
Yeah, where each song...
P. Diddy's remixing it.
Nominated awesome.
Songs. Yeah. Like police sirens.
They want to market this shit on iTunes.
But basically, each song is going to get like 30 seconds to a minute or something of their song. Now, Peter Gabriel apparently has pulled out of the Oscars performing because they're shortening his piece.
Dude, fuck Peter Gabriel. I'll never forgive him. you know the great moment of John Cusack raising the...
Ice cream! It's an ice cream truck. I'm out. Sorry, Chuck.
That's all right. Raising the boombox and the In Your Eyes is playing.
Sure.
You know.
Yes.
Okay. In that song, that motherfucker has the audacity to say that he gets so tired fighting for our survival. I'm like, you know, dude, take it easy. Don't fight for my survival. You know what I mean?
Chuck really thinks about this guy.
Dude, no.
Peter Gabriel, he's a dour man, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Now, I love Peter Gabriel and all, but
good musician.
My first thing when I heard that he was going to pull out because he was going to only get 60 seconds, it was, fuck you, Peter Gabriel. There are people, their entire careers, would love to have a shot at being on the Oscars, you know, giving tribute to the industry. you know, and all that kind of shit. Oh, you're not going to give me my full artistic license to do my entire piece? Don't you know how fucking good my stuff is? I'm fucking Peter Gabriel. Fuck you. Get the hell out. Because
that's
exactly
the tone he had.
Yeah. I'm sure it was.
Oddly enough, I think it was pretty accurate.
It was pretty close.
And he tacked on, and I get so tired fighting for our survival.
I mean, but honestly, on this issue of thing, everybody talks every year about how long the Oscars is, how much fluff is in the Oscars. I've always said, and Chris has a different opinion than mine, and he makes a very good point. But my point of view on this is simply that, you know what? The individual songs that they play in the Oscar, that they play in films, very rarely have any significance to the film. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. Often, they're just songs that play in the end credits. And yet, at the Oscar show, you will dedicate 2.5 to 3.5 full minutes of screen time to each song getting a full performance when the guy nominated for Best Actor gets a 10-second clip. It's not, it makes no sense whatsoever. This is the night, no it
because,
does not.
Listen, you're,
Oscars celebrate the movies. The lead actor is a more important role in the movie than that one song. You dedicate more time to the things that are more
all
important.
Right, put your pants back on.
You liked it, you didn't say that last night.
Hey-o.
Let's think about this. Which one seems feasible? Showing the full 2-hour movie of the actor or playing the 2.5 to 3 minute song.
That's only if
you're talking
either
in
or.
Black and white.
You're only
and at least acknowledge a world of gray exists. Let's start there.
Well, you should make the actor go up there and perform his
scenes. Yeah, exactly.
Up there first.
Yeah. that's my point. I'm not saying, and I said this to you. It's like I'm not saying increase the amount of time, the length of the clip you show for each actor. I'm not saying that. I'm saying decrease.
I know you're not
2.5
that,
minutes per
but,
song.
But,
it's ridiculous.
It's what you're using as an argument, and therefore it just falls apart.
Look, this is I.
But listen, apart. My listen. Argument is concrete, solid.
No, it's not. It's not. It would take me a while.
You're saying take the least important thing and give it the most screen time.
Here,
no,
that is what you're saying.
No, it's not.
What has more screen time each Oscars than the amount of time dedicated to the songs? What one element has more time dedicated to it? None.
Dude, it's
any
not
member
it's,
of the
but,
montages
it's not dead people.
I don't but yeah. We're talking about montage, and I agree with you
well,
on
you
the
just
montage.
Asked me which element has more screen
Sorry,
time, and
category,
that's it.
Category.
None. But,
exactly.
but again, which is more feasible?
I think they were just
trying, reduce it.
I think it was about not so much like honoring the song, but just adding extra entertainment punch to the telecast.
Yes.
See, that's the point Chris made to me before, and I think that's a valid point.
But at the same time, I have to say that the older I get, and I hate to admit this, the less in touch I am with pop artists, and so I kind of zone out because half the time I don't even know who the hell these people are. And the other half of the time, it's Elton John doing some bad fucking number from some animated movie that I couldn't care less about.
Well, look, the point John makes about, you know, all these songs are generally just played over the credits, that's totally changing because of a rule that they implemented a few years ago where they actually watch the sequence of the film
yeah,
where the song
is
used.
Yeah, it's changing, yeah.
And that's why something like the awesome Springsteen song from The Wrestler, which I think has a greater impact coming after 5 to 10 seconds of black, is not nominated because when they watch the clip, they're watching 5 to 10 seconds of black before the song
Now that's
starts.
A great point.
Yeah.
Because that was a song made for
yes,
that movie.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And to
yeah.
listen
and
to
it's
it
a great
then,
song.
And it didn't get nominated.
The movie,
it didn't get nominated.
It didn't get nominated.
Yeah. And I look, I'm not saying remove the category. I'm not saying remove the category. I'm saying...
I know you're not.
Makes
I know
no
you're
sense
not saying
to,
that.
To play,
I'm just saying that
play the entire song.
I think you were using this notion that they're pointless to the movie as extra ammunition. And I don't
not
think it
pointless
works.
To the film, but you have to admit, in The Wrestler, the impact and influence of that song is less than Mickey Rourke.
Right.
Then in the Oscars, don't give the song more time than you
sure.
give
Sure. Well,
Rourke.
Look, I think
that's
also important
point.
To note that this is still a business, and that without
agreed.
Without the business aspect, you're not going to have a show. So do fans want to see, and I guess they'll find out, do fans want to see this mashup of the songs, or do they want to see, let's say Springsteen had been nominated. I can't imagine giving Springsteen 60 seconds to sing something when you can have him out there singing a whole song the week he's got an album, or the month he's got an album coming out, a few weeks after he played the Super Bowl. It's a ratings issue. So I think it would have behooved them to go with a full number. But maybe, but then at the same time, we're talking about the songs that are nominated, two very, you know, Indian tracks, and then a Pixar, you know, cutesy song from Peter Gabriel. So perhaps in a way these aren't the most popular songs, so it works to be in a medley.
I was campaigning for weeks for us to do a 60-second mashup of our opinion on the subject. But, I mean, I guess that's where we are right now.
All right, let me bring up one more topic, then we'll talk about some nominees here. This comes up every year, and honestly, I at one point I thought I had a solution to it, but I realized my solution was pretty stupid. And here it is. Every year we come down to a situation where when films get nominated, they announce the nominations, most people out there hadn't seen the film. And a lot of people haven't even had really a legitimate opportunity to see the film because of the qualifying rules for a film. A movie only has to, I don't understand this nearly as well as Tapley does, who follows this stuff a lot more. But for a film to be eligible for best film at the Oscars, it simply basically has to play in one city for a week.
Yeah.
1 week. So if a film opens up at the, you know, Sunset 5 Lamont and plays there for a week, it qualifies for the Oscars. And a lot of these studios, what they'll do is they'll get a film, they'll just make it reach its eligibility, then hold off on a full release so they can capitalize on Oscar buzz to help its box office. I understand the business behind that. I do. But it puts the Oscars and the show itself and the event itself in a situation where you've got these films it's going to celebrate, and a lot of the general public has not seen them, not just because they haven't wanted to see them, but quite often because they haven't had the opportunity. I thought at one point I had a great solution, which was, hey, just change the rule. Make it a film has to be in a quasi-wide release, minimum 500 screens by December 31st. It has to have that. That way, by the time you announce the nominees, it's already been out in theaters for over a month. People have seen them. It increases people's investment in the show because now people are more interested in the show because it's films they've seen.
That's a great point.
Well, but then I realized I was kind of stupid because I thought, well, then if you did my idea, don't you just then automatically eliminate any independent films that don't get
totally
more
do.
Than two, like 150, 300 screens? And that's their weakness. So what do you do? What do we do about this situation?
Well, that's a good point too. Why are you just a roller coaster, man? Yeah. I can't participate.
I don't know why you would want to tinker with this. I mean, they want it to be limited to theatrically released movies. They don't want it to be, you know, to open it up to like HBO, you know, movies.
Right.
You know, and in the past, there's been times when that's been kind of a bummer because there have been some great docs on HBO, for instance, that haven't been Oscar eligible. Well, you know, I think the 1 week thing is fine. You'd be hard pressed not to be able to find these movies in the theater at some point or another. You know what I mean? I don't know. I can't speak for Lawrence, Kansas, I guess, but you see what I'm saying? Like
nobody can. Not even people in Kansas.
I think you could have an opportunity to see these movies. And what's great is that when a lesser known movie does get, you know, the Oscar run, that it actually opens up people to go see that film, and it allows that film to enjoy a more wide release because of that.
But for the Oscar itself, let's take The Dark Knight, for example.
It was definitely an indie movie that didn't get a lot of
What I mean
great
is...
Great example, John.
It's a film that came out in the summer,
right?
So it's a film that came out, people have not only had a chance to see it multiple times, mm-hmm. and then talk about it for months, see it on DVD... And if a film like that is nominated at the Oscars, I'm not saying that should be a basis for nominating. What I'm saying is, that gets nominated at the Oscars. Now for the Oscars itself as an event, you've got a film that you're holding up there that a lot more people out there have had time to take ownership of and get emotionally invested in and stuff like that. Instead now, because of the business model, which I understand, you've got a lot of films being nominated that many people haven't had a chance to get emotionally invested in. The general public is looking at these nominated films and going, saying,
all right,
Slumdog,
I have
what?
The answer.
All right.
Wait until the movie's on DVD for it to be eligible. Wait a whole year for the Oscars. You ever watch the Grammys? You feel like the album that wins Best Album came out like 2 years ago?
Yes.
Dude, you know, I feel like
you know
that.
Saying?
I mean, it wasn't nominated for Best Picture. It could arguably have been. But I feel that way about In Bruges. I feel like I saw In Bruges like 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But totally. It was because I saw it in L.A. when it first came out, so it's like I was here already. But oh man, I wish I. In Bruges is another topic. I'll
but it does seem like that it has been a while, so I know what
totally,
you mean. Yeah,
totally. So let's just fucking bump the whole thing a year. Sliding schedule. That's why I don't do these things.
All right, let's talk about the actual Oscar. We don't have time to go down and through everything, but let's have some discussion and some predictions here. Let's start with...
Close your eyes and point to one.
All right.
Yeah.
Unless it's one I don't want to talk about. All right. Best short live action? No. Don't do that.
First of all, I thought The Pig was so much better than New Boy. And Manon on the Asphalt. Oh, man, they phoned that shit in.
It's so weird being the only guy that saw all of it.
Let's talk about Best Original Screenplay. Let's start with Best Original Screenplay. The nominees, of course, are Frozen River, Happy Go Lucky, In Bruges, Milk, and Wall-E. First of all, is there anything on this list that is there anything missing from this list
Absolutely.
That really stands out to you as a huge glaring one? Chris?
Well, I think, first of all, this is the weakest slate of original screenplays I've seen in a while. I'm kind of alone on that. But I didn't like the scripts for most of these movies, if not all of them. But I feel like, yeah, there's a ton of
what
scripts.
What was the script for Wall-E? Like 3 pages and just a bunch of pictures?
That's going to upset a lot of people. Anyway, but I just feel like, you know, The Wrestler had a great screenplay. One of my favorite movies of the year, throughout the year, and we did the podcast and I talked about this, is Pineapple Express.
Right, right.
I think that movie is... I think that movie is great. I swear to God.
Guys, the movie is fucking awesome. Dude, it worked on like so many levels, you guys. I was like, oh man.
Oh, fucking slash your tires.
It worked on the little bit high level and the whole lot of high level.
Oh man.
Dude. Oh.
Why don't you get in the dumpster?
Oh, okay, well then let's see what the ones that are there. Are there any? Are there any? Which ones here do you think should win, and which ones here do you think doesn't have a
place? In Bruges was fantastic. I'm not a big fan of biopics myself, so I'm looking at Milk and going, you know. But I thought In Bruges was a great screenplay.
Am I alone in thinking that Milk was very by the numbers?
It was.
It's not very creative.
It was a standard biopic.
You know, and here's the thing. You know. The performance really carried the day. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, Sean Penn, undeniable. You know, but
best performance of his career.
Well, that's a conversation.
I think, yeah,
but,
I agree.
But I wouldn't. But anyway, yeah, Milt is carried by his performance. I do think the story is really lacking. You know,
well, it's I don't think it's the story that's lacking. I just think it's the manner in which it's told. It's very. It uses this one editorial device throughout where you keep cutting back to him, you know, reading his last will and testimony.
Okay, here we go into this thing, okay? Look, I hate when stories are framed. when you put them in a frame.
Motherfucker.
Curious Case was framed.
Reader.
The reader was in a frame.
Slumdog was
Milk
framed.
Milk was in a frame. You can go back. Saving Private Ryan in a fucking frame. Forrest Gump in a frame. I hate these storytelling devices that really like make you aware that a story is being told. And I really didn't like that about Milk. And I really didn't like that about.
That's why you got to see Pineapple Express.
Right. Well, speaking of that, all the Best Picture nominees are like that.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Am I the only person? Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just gonna say who thought Milk as a story was a little. Unoriginal or overrated here.
Well, it was a true story, so it's hard to say.
Harvey Milk's life was so overrated,
yeah,
man.
Exactly. Well, you were just making the point, right?
It's just the
Milk?
Method in which it was told.
Okay, I'm talking about
the method in which it was
screenwriting.
Yeah, okay, the screenwriting of Milk.
Yes.
That you didn't completely like, right?
Exactly.
Okay, and you too? Chuck?
No, okay. I.
So let the record show that Dennis, Tapley, and Chuck hate gay people. Move on.
am I the only one here? Because no one's mentioned it yet. I'm surprised.
It stinks.
One of the films, these little films that not a lot of people saw, but those who have been raving about it, I did actually not think was all that great, which was Happy Go Lucky. I think the screen. I have no concept of why this film was not a best screenplay. The lead performance the actress's name is eluding me. Who's
Sally Hawkins.
She was brilliant. She was charming and funny, and she held me to the screen, and I think she deserves all the accolades she's gotten this year. But as a screenplay and as a story, I thought this film was dreadfully overrated, and I just don't understand why it's there. I'm with you, Chuck. For me, In Bruges is the best screenplay of the year, in my opinion. At least
of these five.
Yeah. Chris?
Honestly, my pick of this five would either be Happy Go Lucky or Milk.
All right.
That's how shitty I think this category is. Yeah.
See, that's how I've often said that Tapley is contradictory by nature. And the motherfucker just contradicted himself. Did he not? I mean, in three sentences, this guy just disagreed with himself.
Here's my problem. I'm obviously the most cinematically ignorant of the five of us here, so I'm going to say In Bruges. Just
you're also
I
the ugliest.
Ugliest, but oh, I mean, they can't see this as a podcast. This I know, is where I'm slitting them. You know what I mean?
Tapley, or sorry, Dennis.
Well, to be honest, I didn't see three of these five. I had been meaning to see In Bruges because I heard good things from you and Chuck. But yeah, it just doesn't look like a very strong category.
Pineapple Express.
Sir, we're going to have to go through these a little bit more quickly, but let's go to adapted screenplay. Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Doubt, Frost Nixon, The Reader, Slumdog Millionaire. Chris?
What's the category?
Adapted screenplay.
Oh, I think Slumdog deserves this for sure. And it will win.
Okay. So yours is Will. Me?
So, go ahead.
I loved the screenplay for Frost Nixon. I love the way they told that story. Yeah. I thought the dialogue.
You didn't see the play,
great.
Did you? Or did
I did not see the play. No.
Okay.
So I thought it was.
They opened it up nicely from the play, like it's not just the play on film, like Doubt.
Right.
Frost Nixon very much opened it up, which was cool.
Chuck,
hey, well, you know, I have to admit, and maybe I should be a little bit more discerning in this, but generally, when I think in terms of like what's the best screenplay, I think in terms of what was the best movie, and it's kind of hard, you know what I mean, to like distinguish between the two. I definitely do think that Frost Nixon was the best told story out of all of these, and I really do like Frost Nixon, so Frost Nixon would be my choice here.
I would go with Frost Nixon or Slumdog. My thing is, if The Curious Case of Benjamin Button wins, I'm going to throw up.
If Curious Case of Benjamin Button wins, I'm going to stab you in the head.
I mean, he basically took his Forrest Gump screenplay and it changed.
I've heard this argument so many times that it was too much like Escape. Take that out of the equation. Was it a great screenplay or was
no,
it?
No.
No, it was a great screenplay. Let me tell you, the greatest flaw of this movie's story was that all of the characters were extremely shallow. And I mean superficial. Like all of those black people occupied some of these happy black people lands where everybody is like, oh Lord Jesus, and all of this.
Are you saying that black people aren't happy, Chuck?
I'm saying that they are equally capable of depth as anybody else, except in these types of movies where they're just like they have the character depth of an Aunt Jemima bottle, you know. And I think it's offensive on a lot of levels, but then I look at it and I go, well, you know what? None of the white people have any depth either, you know.
But isn't that like a method of storytelling where you often, like, there are a number of films, like let's take Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where it's almost like the characters
Archetypes.
Are set up, and almost in a fairy tale kind of telling,
sure.
as a method for telling the story. Mm-hmm. So for me, on that level, it actually kind of works.
Chuck doesn't like fairy tales.
Yeah.
Chuck hates
Okay,
kids.
Let's look how this category breaks down. This category breaks down. Forrest Gump 2.
Puppy hearts are delicious.
Puppy hearts?
Let's move on to another category.
Oh, yeah.
You have a pick?
Well, look, here, Forrest Gump 2, abusive priests, corrupt politicians, illiterate Nazis, rich Indians. I would say
rich Indians.
Yeah,
I think
right?
They were poor, dog.
They were trying to win a lot of money, right?
Let's get on some of the major ones here. Let's just touch on it for the sake that we have to at least touch on it. Is there any doubt that Heath Ledger? I mean, anything can happen.
No, that's the lock of the century.
But I would say if anything on this was a lock, I would say Heath Ledger for best actor. And it's not just because the dude's dead. I think he really deserved it. Is anybody willing to go on a limb here?
I've already pretty much slammed Tapley twice, so I'm walking very thin ice right now. But I know you've argued this point. How much did his death affect The Dark Knight in awards season?
His death affected, I think, the business of the movie. I don't think it affected the award season as much.
But doesn't the affecting the business of
it
the
does,
movie affect
by proxy,
the
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't even think it affected the business that much.
Sure it did. People wanted to go see the last performance.
I think it was far enough removed. I think the people who wanted to see it because it was the last movie would have gone see this movie anyway. I think this movie, his death was far enough removed from the actual release of the film. I think Warner Brothers did a wonderful job not capitalizing on the tragedy of his death.
I mean, you don't think that the death added one viewer?
No, it added viewers, but...
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so.
I think it added viewers, but not for the...
a movie website, can't be.
But not for the Oscar nomination. Wasn't he nominated for Best Actor for Brokeback Mountain?
Yeah,
so it's not like...
I think he was going to be nominated whether he died or not.
Yeah, so it's not like...
Yeah, because the work is the work.
Yeah, but it's not a person who didn't, you know, have recognition before, and they just slapped him in because he died.
Yeah,
he did. His performance was just that good. It really was.
Can I say this... Even though there's not a chance in hell that he'll even come close to winning this, but Robert Downey Jr. was fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah.
If
yeah.
anyone's number two, I think it's him.
If
you hear his name, all I'm saying is
I would not accept it. I'll be surprised if Heath Ledger doesn't win, and I'll be disappointed. But I won't die of shock if they say Josh Brolin's name.
He was good.
I will not die of shock if they give it to Josh Brolin. You can't give back an Oscar, though, right?
Like, what he was saying about not accepting the award. Like, has anybody in the
George
history...
C. Scott.
Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando and George C. Scott.
So what happened there? Because I've already announced that I'm more ignorant, but he gave back
the
Oscar?
Well, no. Brando's is the greatest story. He sent up a Native American woman named Sasheen Littlefeather. I leaned back when I was talking, but I was pretty
good.
And to accept it on behalf of, to decline it, actually. So he sent someone to decline it. He couldn't even decline it in person. And she had to decline it because of the way Native Americans are treated in Hollywood films. And people were like, what the fuck? My two guys clapped. And then she walked off stage and posed in Playboy later that year.
That is a great American story right there.
Hollywood.
I think you just sold like 1,000 Playboys right there, Natalie.
And George C. Scott was just disappointed that Oscar wasn't bigger to fit up his ass.
Zing or vibrated.
Let's jump to Best Lead Actor. Richard Jenkins in The Visitor. Frank Langella in Frost Nixon, Sean Penn in Milk, Brad Pitt in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler. Unlike a lot of the categories this year, I think this is a very strong field.
Absolutely.
I think this is a very strong field.
Except for Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
I would not pick him to win. I wouldn't even put him in the top three. I think it was too passive.
I don't think it was his fault.
Performance. I think it was just a lot of the effects affecting the performance too much for it to really be considered.
I think I know who he would give it to, but
personally, Mickey, man. But I think that him and Sean.
So you're saying that Sean Penn's greatest performance of his career, which you just said, doesn't warrant an Oscar?
Well, you also
it doesn't warrant an Oscar in the same year that Mickey Rourke performs in The Wrestler. No. And those two performances are fucking amazing. Yeah. And I would not want any two other performances going up against each other. I've never seen a battle like this, really, of two performances. And I just think that by a hair, I liked Mickey's performance better.
You know what nomination I really like this year? I love the Richard Jenkins nomination because he is one of these actors. It reminds me a lot of the, his name's eluding me. Good night, good luck.
David Strathairn.
Thank you. It was another one category. Yeah. This actor who is so good and just brings it every time. It is never, will never be recognized as an A-list guy because he was fantastic in The Visitor. But man, I mean, the guy in Frost Nixon, Penn and Milk, I personally, Sean Penn for Milk, I think I'd give. But I'm not going to complain for any of these guys, and I actually do think, I would put Brad Pitt.
Who's the dickhead that left their cell phone on? Unprofessional douchebag.
I put Brad Pitt number 4 or 5. Like, I put him lower on this list, but I'm not going to complain about any of these guys.
I mean, are you kidding me? Why is he nominated?
I haven't seen The Visitor, but you know who I'd take out instead of Brad Pitt? I'd put Josh Brolin in W. I think that was a forgotten film.
It was a forgotten film.
But he did a spectacular job. It's portraying, you know, a very hated man in a sympathetic kind of way, but not overly sympathetic.
He just pulled off the mannerism. It was more than a caricature or an impression.
Well, I agree with Tapley really quick. Sean Penn and Mickey Rourke should arm wrestle for this.
No, no, no. They should have an act off on stage. They should, yeah. Like, yeah, you could have just like, you like Wolverine in the middle, like, and they go, and he would do like a scene from his movie, and then the other one would go, and then
it should be a two-part thing. They should have to wrestle for it, first of all, and then they should have the French kiss for the
second. No, wait, I like Soul's idea, but instead, what you do an act off. They said, you get Mickey Rourke, he has to act out a scene for Milk.
Oh,
and
Sean
Penn has to act out a scene for the rest. Nice.
That's sweet.
That's pay-per-view shit
That's good.
I would give it to Mickey Rourke. I think Sean Penn's, you know, the better actor and more versatile actor. But I think for the performance,
dude, that was
the
a brave role, though, man. Yeah. I mean, both of them were very brave roles.
All right, let's go to the best leading actress. Anne Hathaway in Rachel Getting Married, Angelina Jolie in The Changeling, Melissa Leo in Frozen River, Meryl Streep in Doubt, Kate Winslet in The Reader. Kate Winslet gets nominated every year. I don't think this is the year we're going to see they're going to give it to Kate Winslet because she's due. I don't think this is the year that they're going to do it. I don't hear anybody else saying this. I don't think she won any of the critic awards. Anne Hathaway and Rachel Getting Married, she blew me away in that. The movie didn't blow me away. She blew me away in it. And this chick is going to be around for a very, very, very long time. I'm every outing, I get more and more impressed with how good this girl is. And yes, it's because I want to fuck her. Yes, you don't have to whisper that.
Hot.
I'd like to cause some havoc in that vagina.
Boom!
Look, John, this is why it's a good thing you don't predict Oscars for money.
Or have his girlfriend.
I'm not predicting her to win. I'm saying
But you just said that you don't think this is going to be the year of Kate Winslet. It's not going to be the year she wins because she's due. It's going to be the year she wins because she's in a Best Picture nominee that somehow beat a $500 million grossing movie to become a Best Picture nominee. They like that movie enough within the ranks, and that's where they're going to recognize
it. So you think Kate Winslet is going to win this one?
Okay. And if not, it's Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Meryl Streep on this one as well. Soul?
Well, I have seen none of these movies. So, using that logic...
This was judged by the role.
I would say Angelina Jolie, because I think her boobies are nice.
Good enough. Dennis?
Chuck? Dennis?
Yeah, I've only seen The Reader. I would guess that the Academy just would probably pick between Streep and Winslet, and Hathaway is like a dark horse candidate.
I have to say, I did not like The Reader as a movie, but I thought Kate Winslet was... brave.
She's
and
always
fucking
great. She is always great.
You know, for those of you who saw The Reader, you know when she
everybody
when
accepts
she, when she was watching the child's choir rehearse, the expression on her face of joy of that simple moment was awesome. However, I do have to say that I do think it was kind of a show-offy sort of role because her character made no sense.
None.
I mean, She's a Nazi guard from Auschwitz, and she wants to be fucked slowly in the ass. You know what I mean? Fuck me gently. Fuck me slowly. It made no sense. And then she's crying at a child's choir, but she, you know, keeps 300 people burning alive in a church. Don't say that this is a complex character. This is a not well thought out character. But the notes that she was asked to hit, she hit them.
You know what's
them.
Wrong with this role, actually, is the way it's edited together. This movie wasn't supposed to come out until next year. The producer, Scott Rudin, wanted it to come out next year. He took his name off the movie, ultimately. This is a guy who produced No Country and won Best Picture last year. And the studio, Weinstein's, wanted to release it this year to both
get the Oscar,
both money-wise and to get the Oscar nominations. And he got the Oscar nominations. And now there's a huge backlash, both from the fanboys and because of people that feel like, you know, this is Hollywood. A lot of Jews in Hollywood, and portraying a sympathetic Nazi is going to be upsetting to a few.
And yet, it got the nomination.
Yeah,
oddly enough,
Weinstein's just looking for an Oscar.
They're
really looking for.
Okay,
Oscar.
We got to get to the last two here really quickly. We'll go to Best Direction. Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, Slumdog Millionaire. I don't think there's... Personally, I might be as shocked as if Heath Ledger loses as I am if Boyle doesn't get it for Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, that'd be surprising. And it'll be great to see him
holding
this year
as possible. Chuck?
I think Slumdog is going to win. I think it's going to be a huge night for Slumdog. I would probably say on just... I would think that Milk had a great a challenge for getting all of that out of the actors, and from that standpoint, I think that Milk should win this category.
Dennis, any thought?
I like Danny Boyle. I think he should win. I mean, I like a lot of his previous stuff, like Shallow Grave, Trainspotting, and even though some people hate this movie, I love this movie.
Yeah, I didn't Sunshine.
Yeah, I love Sunshine.
Like Sunshine's amazing into the last half hour. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I kind
of space movies ever.
Dude,
made.
I'm with you on that, man. Totally with you. Why did they turn it into a fucking horror movie?
Yeah, that
man?
was the flaw for me. Dude. But I kind of knew it going in, so okay. I overlooked it.
It's a beautiful movie.
Yes.
Well, then let's spend the last bit of time we have here on the big award, Best Picture, which should have been WALL-E, but whatever. Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, Slumdog Millionaire. I think the one that should win out of this particular group is Frost Nixon. I think what will win, and we're probably all going to agree, is probably going to be Slumdog Millionaire. It seems to have all the momentum going into this.
I honestly don't think there's going to be, I know, and it could be because I'm so ignorant, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of surprises. I think Hollywood right now is a huge boner for Slumdog Millionaire, and they're going to take down the majority of them. And I think that leading actor, actress, supporting actor, and picture are pretty much already just, I guess I'll be surprised, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of surprises. That's just my opinion.
Chris?
I definitely think Slumdog's going to win, and it's weird because I think it's the best movie of the year, and this is the first year in a long time, for me, probably since Unforgiven, that I actually saw what I thought was the best movie of the year win Best Picture. So,
does that mean they're going to get added to the WALL? Or no, they're not a Western. I mean,
they're not a Western.
All right.
Asshole.
I actually agree with you 100%. I think Slumdog is going to take it. I think Frost Nixon should.
Dennis?
I think Slumdog's going to take it. Out of these five, it is my favorite one, with Frost Nixon being close. For me, the best picture of the year was The Wrestler, and it's not even nominated, so...
Dude, that's the thing about this year. I could replace all five of these movies with five other movies. Here it goes. Tropic Thunder, In Bruges, The Wrestler, Man on Wire, and Dark Knight. Man on Wire is a documentary, much like yourself, with WALL-E being upset. Man on Wire was pretty much the best movie I saw last year. And it's not nominated for Best Picture. Why? Because there's already a documentary category? Bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I could replace all five of these with five other movies. Tropic Thunder was the funniest movie I saw last year. And top five funniest movies
ever. When was the last
comedy
nominated for Best Picture?
Like, flat-out funny movie.
I understand what you're saying, comedy falls under the CGI or the animated documentary problem. If it's a comedy, the Academy doesn't think it's worthy.
If it's a straight-up comedy. If it's a comedy-drama.
What was the last straight-up comedy?
I don't know.
Tootsie. I was going to say, maybe it was Tootsie, but here lies the problem.
Tootsie
was
great.
A lot of time with comedies, you know, to us, we think they're great if they just do the comedy aspect well.
What's straight-up comedy? What?
That got nominated for Best Picture.
I was saying that I think Tropic Thunder should be in this category.
Yeah, but those are like comedy dramas.
But here's the thing: like a movie.
Juno was a comedy drama.
Sure, but think
about Tropic Thunder next to Juno.
If you're going to nominate a film for Best Picture, and they don't always do this, but if you're going to nominate a film for Best Picture, be great at more than one aspect of filmmaking.
Or Weddings and Funeral.
Okay. That's good. That's a really good point.
And that's where you get Tootsies and you get Junos, because they're funny, but they also had all that other stuff
That's a great point.
Okay, so we got to wrap it up. We're going to do a post show. For those of you who are listening to this before the Oscars, we're going to do a post. We'll give our analysis and our feedback on the show. You know, Tathley's telling me this is going to be a very different Oscar show than the ones we've seen before, which is kind of exciting. So for Dennis and Chuck and Sol and Chris, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys after the show. Have a good one. Enjoy it.
Later.